Well, Tinakoto, 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 Katoa, Malalele, Nihama, Anyang Hasio, Talofalava, Salamat Pagi, Kamustagao, Anyang Hasio. I do know a few more, but I'm starting to miss the beat. Oh, Sawati Krap. Namaste, Bula Vanaka, and so on. That's probably the extent of my ability in languages. But I've probably missed somebody out, so was there a language that I missed out that you could give me a greeting in? What's that? Goeiemorgen, Dutch. Yes? Bonjour. Oh, yes. And for the senorita, buenos dias. Or buongiorno, if you're Italian, or something like that. So there's a whole lot, and it's relatively easy to learn how to say hello in other languages. And the best way to learn is to get somebody to teach you. So saying hi and learning from somebody else is very, very helpful. And somebody that comes into your life, you can learn a lot about their language and culture. Like, you know this fella Tassa? I knew him when he was a student. And one of the discoveries I made about him when he was a student is I was also doing a little bit of study at the time, and I had to write something about a culture, so I thought I'd write about Tongan culture. So he was my subject for interview. And I was going through all these things, and he was giving me all these Tongan proverbs, like it's good to wake up and eat breadfruit. And the best shellfish are found where the waves are rushing. And then after a while, I thought, there's a tendency here. I know something about him. He likes food. So the way, you know, the way to a person's heart is through the, you know, well, sorry. Don't worry, Tassa. I'm not going to say anything more about you because it wouldn't be fit for church. You know the idea. Well, look, our subject is reaching the world at our doorstep, and I thought that we needed to begin in a certain place, and we begin with obedience to God. And some of that obedience you've already read about today. There are some passages there, and one of the very earliest commands in the Bible is that you are to love the foreigner. And it can be quite terrible when you're in another situation and you're treated as a foreigner. My first entrance to the United States, I was designated to be an alien. And I watched how their immigration processed aliens that they didn't like. And I wasn't very impressed. Nor was a bloke on a UN passport who was treated as an alien and he should have been just waved through. But anyway, that aside, if we're treated badly, we don't like that, do we? In any situation. And when you're away from your own and you're in another situation, another country, another place where you're so very vulnerable and so dependent, you need some friends. And for me and my family and the various places of the world that we've been, which are somewhat limited, the greatest thing that we have really, really appreciated is the friendship and the help people have given to us just in terms of seeing that we were people in need and out of our normal context. I remember getting off a bus with my family in Bandung, in Indonesia, and we'd got off too soon. And this has never left me. We're off at the wrong bus stop, we're going into the centre of town, how are we going to get, and it's hot and so on like that. And then this lady in a Range Rover pulled up, and she said, excuse me, but have you got off the bus too early? Would you like a lift into town? She said, I've lived overseas with my husband because he's in the army and I know what it's like to get lost when you get off a bus. So we all piled into the Range Rover and she dropped us in town. Very, very lovely. I never seen her or heard of her, knew anything more of her, but just a lovely gesture of friendship. So it begins with obedience to God, and we need to say hello to people, and you can learn to say hello. And we begin with the future in mind. if we're having a ministry. And we, the future that we're looking for is what God has given to us, that scene in Revelation where there will be people from every nation, every language, every culture, every ethnos, and they will be worshipping God together. And one of the most wonderful things we find in an international student context is being able to worship God together and learning so much about the different forms and the different ways in which you can do things. It's enriching. Now, I can't sing and I can't dance, but I can appreciate those who sing and dance. Do you know what I mean? And it is so true that across the diversity of cultures, there is such a variety of ways and means that we can worship God, and we can learn so much about worshiping him together. So we begin with the future in mind. We have that view of what God intends for this world, that there will be people from every language, every culture, every ethnos. They will be present. And whether we like it or not, we've got to get used to it. So we might as well get used to it here, so it's easier up over there with or with God, eh? Would that be a good idea? So that sometimes is the way we need to look at things. So we begin with that future in mind. We have that vision. We begin with God's heart for mission. We understand the Great Commission, go and make disciples of all nations. Jesus gave that to us. And that's true, a command that we need to follow. And when we think mission, we think often of crossing borders. But the first real sense of mission that occurred at the day of Pentecost did not cross borders. People from all nations on the day of Pentecost heard the gospel preached to them. And then, do you know what they did? They took it on the second dimension of mission. They took that message back with them, back to their homes and back to their countries of origin. The greatest mission-sending church that we're aware of in the New Testament was the church at Antioch. Do you know how that was established? People who heard the gospel on the day of Pentecost came there. They were largely displaced refugees and people like that. If you look at the listing of the people in leadership and track their names back to the different countries they came from, you see that. So God has this mission thing going on where he sends some of us out to cross borders, but he also sends us across the street to cross cultures. Have you thought about that? Or even if you're living in a hall of residence on a university or someplace like that, you just have to cross the hallway to say hi. It's so easy. And we need to realize that we have to begin with God's heart for mission, because God wants people of all diversities to be present, to be part of the whole Church of God. We begin with biblical strategies. So the church goes to the world and the world comes to the church. We have to be aware of that. Let's look by beginning at the fields, because they are white for harvest. This is the New Zealand field, and I'm sorry I've only got 2016 figures for you, but they are not that dissimilar today, slightly depressed, slightly less than the numbers, but 130,000-odd international students in New Zealand. That's 3% of our population. In Palmerston North, it is 3% of our population. The largest group come from China, and then from India, and then from Japan, and so on. There are lots and lots of nations. There are over 160 nations. In fact, I think on those figures, 176 nations present in the international student body in New Zealand. Out at Massey University in Palmerston North, there are over 100 nations. And amongst the postgraduates that I have had a little bit of a role in of late, there are about 75, 76 nations. It's very, very diverse. The world is coming to us, and what's more, it's come to Palmerston North. Now, let's just look at Palmerston North as a harvest field, as an opportunity. If you were to take the information from NZQA, you would find there are 140 education providers within the Greater Manawatu area who are enrolling international students. Did you know that? Well, 114 places, and some of it goes out as far as Dannevirke and places like that. And even over to Fielding. Anyone from Fielding here? Bunnythorpe? There's even one place in Bunnythorpe, apparently, that enrolls people. I thought, that's incredible. How come Bunnythorpe's got international students? I thought it had rabbits. Sorry, I couldn't resist. You know the thought. And there's something more to that. International students stand around about 3% of our population. In Palmerston North alone, in the city, there are about 2,500 international students. And obviously, if Massey has over 100 nationalities, there are over 100 nationalities represented. You know, they're worth $96 million to our local Palmerston North economy. Some of you have probably got jobs related to them. Some of you are selling them pies or chips or something like that. Maybe something a little bit more upmarket. Who knows? Over 100 nationalities are represented in these, and I've just given you a few. And certainly, the world has come to Palmerston North, and the world has come to Palmerston North for some time. The largest providers are obviously Massey, IPU, UCOL, and the high schools. How many could walk to a high school from here? Yeah. How many might need a bicycle or a car to get there? But they're not that far away. There are people all over the place. So what about International Student Ministries, the group that I'm involved in working with, and this opportunity? I'd like you to know, in the work that we've had going on in Palmerston North, which has been going for some number of years, and in partnership with churches and other Christian ministry, ISM in Palmerston North alone has returned graduates who came to Christ in this city to over 60 countries. That's incredible. And these are people following Christ, and they came to Christ here in Palmerston North. And a third of them have returned to cities in the 1040, gateway cities in the 1040 window. When we did that analysis, we were blown away, because a little place like Palmerston North can be contributing to world mission in such a way through the means of just being friendly and being involved with international students. It's incredible. It's something that God has done. He's brought people to us. He's given people with a heart to just be friends and to share in the lives of people and to help them to come to faith and to equip them and so on, and then to follow through with them into mission. I have visited in relatively recent times a church in Bangkok that is bigger than any church in Palmerston North in terms of numbers. It was started by one of our returnees. He was involved in the group that started it. It began with a Bible study in their home. The church that they had gone to said, you start a Bible study and bring people in, and they collected people together, and then those people grew into a church. Jenny and I were blown away when we visited. We said, can we see the church you've got? They brought a property in downtown Bangkok. And they were planning to buy property nearby so they could expand to actually provide facilities for about 1,500 people. They've been back now around about, probably about 15, maybe a little longer years, maybe a bit more, to see that happen. Down the road, there's another church that isn't quite so big. It's only got about 300 or 400 people. It's in a different strata of society, in a lower socio-economic group. And that was started about the same time by another graduate who was here. And it goes on. There is enormous opportunity. In our ISM ministry, we have focused on preparing responsive individuals well through in-depth discipleship. Oh, I've got thorough there, rather than through, and equipping with their future locations in mind. So if we're working with the Tongans, is a good example. Let's take the Tongans as an example. We help prepare them well. One of the areas of preparation is we give them regular character adjustments. Sorry, not for you girls. That was for that. That fellow there needed a few. But do you know the idea? No. We try to do something that's relevant to the culture. We want them to learn to articulate their faith in their own language. We want them to learn to worship God in their own ways, in their own language. We want to prepare them for going back. We want them to have a sense of mission of what they could do so they can share their faith in their own context in a way that's respectful and relevant to the culture. We try to build and prepare them in a contextualized way. Now, because many are students, they graduate before we've actually finished the job of preparation. So as part of our mission, we follow through with them. So we have to follow through them. Any church that's going to be involved with international students is going to have to be prepared to cross the border with them and give them help and encouragement. In the modern world, that can be just using Skype and Zoom and things like that. But it's a great, it's wonderful to go off and swan off to Asia and to go to a wedding because there's somebody that you know really well. That's a good excuse. Or to go and visit and so on like that and provide encouragement. And, you know, it's good to have that excuse that it's a really spiritual thing to do. Do you know what I mean? No, I'm just being facetious. It is really serious. And so our ISM staff, as part of their role, have a role that they must be prepared to encourage people beyond the times that they are in New Zealand. Now, I mentioned to you about that church in Bangkok. There is a reason why that was so successful, and that reason relates to a missionary, Peter McIver. Peter and Diane McIver are out with OMF, and they were the ones that helped us with those graduates going back. They got them established in a church that would help them to the next step, and that next step was when those churches were planted. One of the interesting things about the church in the lower socioeconomic area, Chu Wong, who was the person who's leading in that, he came to Christ here at IPC. And Peter had to go back. Peter was on furlough and he went back to renew his visa. And he visited Chu Wong's parents. As a result of that visit, this Kiwi who spoke Thai, who was the right age, those parents joined a local Bible study. Then they came to Christ through that activity. They asked their son to train to come back to be able to teach the Bible. And of course, he did an internship with us before he went back. That's where that church came from. It's in the area that his family lived. And it was established on a children's ministry. Anyway, I could get easily into stories. There is an interesting story about Japan, because there's a lot of Japanese have become Christians here in Palmerston North. And now there are a lot of them that are back in Japan as graduates, who are taking roles in churches and so on like that. And a very curious thing happened for Janine. She's on sabbatical in Japan at present. And to go and stay there and be on sabbatical for a period of time, she needed to have the Japanese government requires you to have a sponsor and a supervisor for doing such things. So Saito is her supervisor. Saito came to Christ in Palmerston North and he's now pastor of a church. And he meets the Japanese government's requirements to be a supervisor of a missionary coming on sabbatical. It's quite a curious. And Janine can't believe it. Saito, he's now my boss. But that's the way it goes. ISM New Zealand's mission is one of missions intentionality. And so when we, at the first level, when we meet with an international student, we see the potential of that student to be a carrier of the gospel. But of course, the sovereignty of God is in there. We're not sure that every international student is going to become a Christian. But we know that many are responsive. And sometimes it's in our attitude of friendship and love and the things that Christ has created in our hearts that makes a big difference. So what we do is we prepare the international students for the context they will face as they graduate. That includes the work context, and that includes the country and culture context. So there has to be a respect for cultures and a learning of them by our staff and the people who work with them. And then, of course, the stage of life context. Part of Janine's sabbatical research in Japan is in the area of helping young mothers with the raising of children in isolation. Because in the culture in Japan, the community does not help you very much. And the church community doesn't help very much in the raising of children. And so this is an issue for many of our graduates who've gone back and married and are having children. The husbands or the fathers are away for long hours working. The mothers are isolated in those communities. And we're seeing if there is, she's trying to learn if there is a way that we can be better prepare the Japanese woman for that return to that context. Support, we like to support and encourage through transition. That can sometimes mean visits and sharing constructive links with the other parts of the body of Christ. I've just been dealing with a little bit to do with a Taiwanese chemistry teacher in Wellington, and she will go back to Taipei, and I've already made a link with one of our graduates who's working there as a pastor. But we like to work in with the body of Christ in those locations. It's not always possible to know people. So organisations like GCIM and the missions associations like OMF and InterServe and SIM, they've become really important to us because they often have better knowledge of people we can connect with. Some of our staff are from countries of origin, so some of our staff are from China and Japan and places like that, so that helps. But this is what we try to do. Just to 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard and seen of me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be able to teach others. And this is what we try to inculcate in the development of any international student who's growing in Christ. We try to help them become a labourer, and so they're learning that in the New Zealand context. But we're ultimately preparing them for going back. So the best New Zealand context for an international student to prepare for is amongst their fellows. So our Chinese students, we tried to get them to work amongst their fellow Chinese students. Our Japanese students, we try to get the same. Our island students, the same thing like that. Because that's practicing on your own is good preparation for going home, because you have that understanding of the culture and so on like that. It doesn't mean to say that you stop looking to share the gospel with New Zealanders. There's so many Kiwis, particularly in the student environment, that need Christ. So many of our international students will quite unashamedly share Christ in that context. But in the return home, they can tell what God has done in different places. And I've illustrated here. It could be anywhere in the world. And I'd just like to tell you a couple of stories before we finish. Here's some, and I think Andrew might be familiar with some of these. Were they interns when you were an intern with Pathways, Andrew?
No.
No, maybe... Not when you were there. I know one or two were. Anyway, I'll pick up on one. There's right down in that bottom corner is Yuki. Yuki's back in Japan. He is working with the Navigators as a student worker in a university in Fukuoka in southern Japan, in full-time ministry. The one next to him, coming off to the left, is Lewis, and he's back in Japan, and he's a leader in a church. He's married and has one child. Yuki has also married. He married the daughter of a Japanese worker, who I had met years ago in a conference, and I remember praying. We were praying for our children, and my Stephen was just that high, and his daughter was just so high, and Yuki married his daughter. Great story. Yuji Uno, he married Yuji Uno's daughter. It's incredible the way those connections. You never see where your prayers go. And then coming right to the left is Jing Shu and her husband Ian are in Christchurch and leadership in a Chinese church. And then if you come up above, that's Claudia. Claudia's visiting Palmerston North, seeing her sister right now, who lives here. Claudia's married with one child, but Claudia's wish as an intern was to make a movie, because she was really into movies and stuff like that, and she thought coming to New Zealand she might connect up with, you know, those guys in Wellington, went to workshops or something like that, but it didn't actually work. But she had a real desire, and that was part of the thing she wanted to do, to make an evangelistic movie to take back to her own people in a very unusual set of circumstances that only God can do. She ended up, after she completed the internship, of being working with a movie maker in Guadalajara, her hometown, and she became the person who set up all the places they shot the story of a drug lord who'd come to Christ. And she got to take the movie back to her own people. Great story. And then right next to her is Victoria. Victoria is a Scot. Victoria is actually the Reverend Victoria Sibley Bentley, and she is on the pastoral team at All Saints and is a chaplain at Massey University and helps me with my writing. And then the one in the back there standing up is Jashin. And I'd just like to just take up Jashin's story and show you. There's Jashin. Jashin and Anne. Anne was another intern of ours. They both came to Christ here in Palmerston North. Anne is from Chengdu in China. Jashin is from Taipei in Taiwan. When they returned, Jashin, as we call him, he went to Shanghai and worked with his father, who was in golfing. His family is split up. His mum's back in Taipei. And then at some point, Anne came down from Chengdu. They got married and they moved to Taipei. He's now serving as a youth pastor in a church. He's gone on and done theological studies. And you can see that's a recent photo off Facebook. I managed to figure out how you can snack photos off Facebook just for Church on Vogel. But there's their family. But this is part of their ministry. And this is part of their ministry. Do you start to see the ripple of influence through the life? Now, Jashin's quite close to us because when he came to Christ, Michael Lowe, who's still here in Palmerston North, said he's in the wrong place with the wrong people in the wrong flat. I'm getting him out of it and he's coming to live with you. So he lived with us for a number of years. So we invested in his life. And he was pretty raw when he came to live with us. But you can see there's something going on there now. I could tell you lots of stories, but there are lots of opportunities. There are ISM-type opportunities everywhere. Unusually in New Zealand, the ratio is very, very high. New Zealand and Australia and Singapore are the three countries in the world that have the highest ratio of international students to total population. Enormous opportunities. International students grow to be leaders of their societies when they return. I'm sure Tasa and Sesimani would be leaders in Tonga if they were back there. But our friend from Fiji, your defence minister, Inuki Kuburambola, became a Christian while an international student in Auckland. So if you want to go and hobnob with a committed Christian, Inuki Kuburambola in Fiji is a leader in his society and a leader for good. They have insider language and cultural skills. I was told when we went to Indonesia on sabbatical, there are only two words you need to know. One word is maaf, and the other word is, the phrase is tidak apa-apa. Maaf means sorry. Tidak apa-apa, which is said with a smile, is it doesn't matter anyway. So when Stephen, our teenager, shook up a can of Coke and poured it all over an older lady in a hijab, and she jumped up and I was going, maaf, maaf, maaf. And then I looked at her and smiled and said, tidak apa-apa. We got away with it. And for the rest of our journey on that train, she kept smiling at me. But there are some things that you, as an insider, you need. Now, I needed that information from somebody who knew a bit about Indonesian culture, that that's a way the society works. They don't get too bothered by making mistakes, but you just smile and get on with life. I wish that New Zealand could do that. They're open to developing new pathways for the gospel in their societies. That's incredible. New missionaries doing new things. They go places conventional missionaries can't go. There's so many of our international students. I mentioned the gateway cities of the world. They're going into places we can't go. There are some churches that have been established in countries that I will not tell you about, that are restricted access, and the people that were involved in establishing them came to Christ here in Palmerston North, were baptised at Kingston Street. And are continuing to this day. Kingston Street, the church I go to, and I don't wish to laud it as a great place, it's always had a heart for missionaries. And I know Richard would say this and that, sending missionaries out, there's always been, every field that we've sent missionaries to, we've prayed. And every field we've sent missionaries to, God has also established churches and ministries through the return of international students that have been associated with us in our fellowship. Now, the fellowship has done some wonderful things. They've cared for, they've supported workers like, there's two or three of us ISM workers associated. They've supported us, they've been involved with us, they've been practical, they've helped out with camps and so on like that. They've helped out with all sorts of activities. And it's become a unique story of what God can do in terms of reaching the world at your doorstep. They cost a lot less than the standard missionary. You return an international student, you know, the average missionary costs you about $80,000 a year. They serve in their context for life. And that's how it carries on. What is needed is workers to reach them. With the diversity we face and the numbers we face, we need people to come alongside and work them. We need a wide-catching net. We need the full body of Christ involved. There is opportunities for everybody. And I would like to just bring before you a few opportunities. You can pray. You can give. And you can help out as volunteers. You can do it as a church. You can start your own ministry. You can do it in partnership with ISM, or you can do it independently. Over to you. The world is at your doorstep. You have a responsibility for the world at your doorstep. You have a responsibility for the people within your community, the people you come across. You can choose whichever way you want to do it. And I've left a handout there on how your church can get started and developing its own ISM. It's on that table along with the odd brochure and so on like that. And you can pray for us. You can pray for people. And of course, there's a great investment from in ISM here. Tasa was on our board for many years. And of course, he was involved in student ministry for a long time. And Sesamani has contributed in so many ways. And I like to think their kids have helped out a bit. But there's involvement there. So just keep in mind that there are opportunities. And I could bring you one opportunity. This is a new staff worker that's just coming on with ISM, helping us with a range of things, but particularly with the use of social media and stuff like that to help us reach a wider group of people. She's a Singaporean, and we have desperately had a need for the sort of services and skills that she has. There are a couple of churches in Singapore getting behind her, but also we're looking for getting people to pray for her and get behind her in the financial needs that she would have. So I thought I'd bring before you Amanda Wong as a project that you could be involved in as a church, just to pray for, maybe to give, but also possibly to think about. She will have a national role, or is having a national role, to help our staff workers do their job. So the application of what we're saying here, there's an opportunity for you to pray. There's obviously an opportunity to give. And there's an opportunity to help. And there's an opportunity to start your own ministry. And for follow-up and advice, I'm very happy to give advice. I don't charge very heavily, only about the standard lawyer's rate. No, I don't charge at all. That's not part of it. But we're very happy to work alongside you. Thank you for the opportunity to share with you. And I trust that you will be able to reach the international students in your context and have a ministry to the nations through the nations that have come to you. Thank you very much.